Lord God, we give you thanks for all the good things that you have given us in order to share and to give to others. And we thank you for Alex and his gifts and his willingness. And pray for him. We thank you for every good gift and pray that we may be good givers for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. Do please, if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's there in the church Bibles on page 193 in the New Testament. I'm going to look briefly at two or three of these verses in conjunction with the sheet, financial giving as part of Poynton Parish Church, which I hope everyone received one on the way in. The instruction, I think, was to give one to every household, because it's probably true that within a household we think through and pray through our giving to God and his work. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 says this: the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And in one way, the point is just very obvious, isn't it? It's an agricultural point or a gardening point. And I find it's true of grass seed. I've had a garden with lots of grass for a few years now, and it often gets bare patches. Because a badger's been along and kicked it all up, or just because it's been in the shade and it needs sorting out a bit, or just maybe because it's been covered in weeds or brambles and it needs to come back to grass. And so then I go and get some grass seed, and a few years back I would be quite sparing, you know, I'd just put a bit of grass seed on. And I'd go out and look at it a week later and nothing much happened. And I'd go and look at it another week later and there are a few green shoots, but they're all a bit spread out. And really, it was 6 months later before it was good enough to put a lawnmower over. I've changed my ways. I realised that you need to put decent handfuls of grass seed on a bare patch, and if you do that, you do get a green carpet, given our climate, within quite a short while, and then you can get on and sort something else out in the garden. And it is amazing, isn't it, how a bit more effort in the garden can often result in a lot more fruitfulness. And a lot more effort in a lot more fruitfulness. That's the sort of point. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully, generously, will also reap bountifully. The reason that Paul was writing this to the Corinthians wasn't because their gardening skills needed improving. It was because this is a principle that we all need to apply to our Christian giving. And it is a point that we can be slow to grasp. And if we live in the sort of place that Corinth was in the first century, or the sort of place that Britain is in the 21st century, then it seems to go against so much of what we are told or pick up in society. Giving is a good thing, and more giving is even better, is the message. So generously, in order to reap bountifully. This is the message to the churches in Corinth, which was a place which had much. It was a thriving port city and a centre of quite a large and prosperous area of ancient Greece. Surely they would have got the point. Well, no, they needed to get the point, which is why Paul puts it like this. Now, being Christians, this is a calling. It's not something that we must do because we must do it. Verse 7, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. This is something that we ought to sit down and have a think about. Each one of you must think as you've made up your mind. So this is why at this time of year we have a Sunday that we put some time aside to sitting down and having a think about it. And try and provide one of these sheets in order to help us think. So could you turn to this sheet, if you would, and just have a look at the little synopsis. I'm very grateful to Eileen, our honorary treasurer, for providing figures for this. They're hot off the press, and they're from our provisional accounts, not our final accounts, which are at the auditors at the moment. So is there anyone who's not got one who would like to have one? Hands up, the science people are just coming round. So these are up-to-date figures from the year 2013 in order to help us and to encourage us for the year 2014. We hold this Sunday reasonably early in the year, so it will make an impact on the giving for the rest of the year, this year. If things have been going badly, then that's helpful because it gives us 9 months plus of the year to still address things. If things are going well, then it inspires us. It inspires us to give more and to see more fruitfulness. So can you see on the front page, I've put down five areas that we've been working at. This is partly in conjunction with Chester Diocese, who encourage us to have certain priorities for mission and for church growth. It's called GAP, Growth Action Planning. And we're in the fourth cycle of GAP with Chester Diocese. Things that we're working on presently, the PCC and myself. First, developing the staff team to enable further growth. It's been encouraging that PCC have been willing to employ Andy Livingston at the end of his curacy as part-time paid associate minister. It's also good that we've been able to increase the hours of the parish office manager and appointed Val Parry to do that in 2013. These are all things which need money, but we've learnt that as we increase our staff team in working at things that matter and helping the rest of us do better at the things that matter, it does enable further growth in God's work and help growth in God's kingdom. Also, we've been pleased this year to have a gap year assistant youth worker, Chris Naylor, and we've registered with an organisation called Time for God to help in future provision. Developing the staff team enables further growth. Secondly, we are working hard at supporting cross-cultural Christian mission. And if you look at the third page at the top there, mission giving and emergency relief collections, £22,600 was given through the PCC accounts, and that doesn't include all the giving from individuals and households apart from that. So through the church accounts, we've given 22,600 plus. And, for instance, £250 of that has been given to Alex in order to help him go and do his TIFF and work placement in Bolivia. One of the major places we give to is Northwest Argentina, who we've been developing a partnership with. And in May, a team of five or six people is coming from Argentina to Poynton for a week to help us in a week of mission. Passion for Life, we're calling it. And because it's just a few weeks before the World Cup in Brazil, and there'll be quite a South American flavour to the sports news, we thought it would be a great time for them to come and to share in some mission here in Poynton. We want to support cross-cultural mission as a way of seeing more fruitfulness around the whole world, not just in our locality. Another thing which the PCC has encouraged us to do is to look for a way of supporting more needy people in our parish and in our wider area. So at the moment we're in the middle of a feasibility project looking at the Beesham project and seeing whether this is a project which will help us to do that well and enable more people, not just from our number in the church, but from our community as well, to reach out to poor people. Beesham. There's a Beesham on the Wirral, and on Monday we had two of the leaders from Beesham Wirral over and telling us about how they've set things up and what they're doing and enabling us to ask all sorts of questions. Thank you for coming if you came. We're now in a period of praying and vision building in order to see whether this is something we can launch later in the year. And you'll see on the notice sheet when the prayer meetings, vision meetings are, just half an hour every fortnight as a way of developing that vision and helping us come to a decision. There are other priorities too. We've been very pleased at the fruitfulness of the giving which enabled the refurbishment in the interior of this church. Remember, it was only 2 years ago that we were shut for 4 months in order for that work to be done, and we are still paying it off. You can see at the bottom of page 3 that our current deficit at the end of last year was 76,000. We know that many of the pledges are scheduled to run for another year. So some of that is covered in pledges and promises. But we look to see if we can complete that project in the next 12 or 18 months so that we can move on to phase 3. Already the PCC subcommittee team is looking at the possibility of providing toilets, servery, and one or two other spaces adjacent to this building, maybe as some sort of north porch and adjoining rooms, or maybe as an adjoining little extension on the outside at the back. We're hoping to bring those plans to anybody who's interested in the congregation next month. So please look out for that and see if you might have views or encouragements or help as we develop those plans. Also this year we've finally got permission to go ahead with the Lychgate refurbishment. That's going to be a project most of £20,000 in order to make the Lychgate good for many years to come. And also we're working at finalising plans for a new surfacing on the drive, the car park and the pavements around the church hall, really making a good job of that area for many years to come. We're also seeking to develop the work, God's work at St. Martin's. It's been great to see the progress of two of the projects we've focused on there. Who Let the Dads Out, which is going great guns on Saturday mornings once a month, and also the St. Martin's Retired Lunch, which is attracting good numbers from Higher Poynton, which is our main aim at St. Martin's. So we pray that this sowing generously will reap a good harvest for the work of St. Martin's in Higher Poynton. I do want to mention what I mentioned at the bottom of page 2. It says, don't forget to mention bequests. That's really a note to me. But the PCC have been giving thanks this year, but we've been notified that we will receive a large bequest of about £100,000. We hope that that might come through next year as the estate is sorted out. It was a great surprise because the people who gave it in their will weren't regular worshippers here in the last few years, but did have some weaker attachment in previous years. But they're a good example to us, and they're in good encouragement to us to give generously out of our wealth as well as out of our income. We see in the Old Testament that the people of God are encouraged to tithe to God's work and to the poor, to the ministry of God's people and to the poor, out of their income. And so we encourage one another to give a significant proportion of our giving. And also it's good to do the same with our wills. And to put in our wills a proportion of our wealth that might be given to God's work at our passing. I know for some of us that might seem a long time away, but it's never too late to write a will, isn't it? It's particularly important for us to write a will in these legally more complicated times. And so let's take encouragement from these Poynton parishioners who wrote this will and so have enabled us to make more plans. This bequest has encouraged us to get the work on the lych gate, the work on the car park, and the work on phase 3 of this building rolling faster this year. I'm not going to comment anymore on the numbers on page 3, but I do want to say, as I say at the bottom, a big thank you to our finance team. Eileen Shaw does an amazing job as our honorary treasurer, day after day, week after week, and want to say a big thank you to you, Eileen, and to all your team, who do such a good job. There's all sorts of people involved, as you see from this list and also the ones I've not managed to mention. So we are particularly grateful on this day for all of that work and the fruitfulness which comes from it. Now have a look at the last page, if you would. Last year, it says, these amounts were given by church members in regular giving and also the phase 2 appeal. So you can see the different ways in which it was made up. Combined giving of £210,000 in 2013. And can you see how standing orders through the bank is a large proportion of that? And it's been one of the great encouragements in recent years that more and more people have given by standing order as a help. It helps our financial planning because we can be more confident about what's coming in. And it helps helps us give as well. Don't know if you're the sort of person that forgets some weeks in the busyness of what's going on. Well, giving by standing order means that we choose not to forget and choose to give regularly, week by week or month by month, depending, or year by year, depending how your standing order works. The envelopes system was the system that used to enable more of us to do that, and it is still used by some people. If you would like to have an envelope which allows you each week to put something in, if that's important to you, then envelopes work well with that, and Russ helps us with our envelope scheme. But we do find less and less of the giving is through the loose collections, as we call it, and more through planned giving, which is faithful. And that's what 2 Corinthians is encouraging us to do. There is also the issue of gift aid. The tax we pay on income can be recovered on the amount that we give to charity. Charities including St. George's Parish Church. The gift aid form and the planned giving pledges, the standing order form, are all on that other sheet, which is enclosed with the information sheet. So why don't you have a sit down and a think, a chat with anyone else in your household with whom you share financial obligations, and a pray to work out what your giving might be in the coming 12 months with regard to Poynton Parish Church. And if you'd like to respond in any of the ways that are suggested there or in your own way, then please let us know if we can be of help. Be glad to give any advice or help in thinking things through. And again, going back briefly to the Bible passage, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8, as we've said in verse 7, each of you must give as you've made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance. God is somebody who gives generously to us. And God gives generously to us in order that we might share with others, in order that we might give to others, in order that we might give to the needy, in order that we might give to supply Christian ministry here and around the world, in order that we might give in order to see a bountiful harvest in all sorts of ways. As it says, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by always having enough of everything, and I am so pleased that I'm somebody who has had enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. We're able to have enough and then to give, because so often we have more than enough. And that surplus is given to us in order that we might share. Share abundantly in every good work. What a good reminder, what a good encouragement. And what a good reason to give thanks to God, because God has provided so well for us as a parish over these last years. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, and we want to give in thanksgiving. Please give us grateful hearts, and please give us wise and faithful minds to work these things out and to do them for your name's sake. Amen.